Today we're talking about selfies, those pictures people take of themselves and post online. So sitting down to interview a poet, someone who's all about words, might not seem like an obvious choice. But Steve Rogenbuck is not a traditional poet. I mean, sure, he writes, but he's built a following by posting videos of himself to YouTube. When producer Sarah Nix talked with Rogenbuck, they started out by listening to one of those videos.
This is a poem I wrote for my girlfriend called "What is Heavy Petting and Can We Please Do It?" If you ever perform a Lutheran or Methodist sex act on me, I will simply tell you, "Darling, this is not satanic like you promised." And you will probably reply, "YOLO." And then for your birthday, I will get you elected as a legislator in the House of Representatives, which will really piss you off. I really want a British man to narrate a video about our mating rituals. Like the moment when we start watching Kazam is when the movie would start. You look so good in a mirror holding a phone. I want you in the place where you swallow rain. I want you in the quietness of these animals and their homes. When I'm doing anything with you, I think I want to do this with you until the end of the year of the horse. You are more beautiful than a horse. Every comparison between a non-human animal and you seems accurate. You seem like you are a toy bird full of live birds. You seem like rain passing through lower clouds. You seem like in the universe there is nothing softer than you. I like you so much I view your snaps for the whole 10 seconds. With you, the silence of the moon is not like usual silence. It is more.
When did you start posting YouTube videos?
I started that around the beginning of 2011. Basically, I was interested in looking at the internet and seeing all these different forms that language can take. And so I was working on image macros, kind of like the lolcats where you put words over a picture. I was interested in using Twitter and Facebook status updates as language. But yeah, the videos have been what has taken off the most.
So do you consider the videos poems?
That is a very interesting question. I consider them poetry. I think you can definitely understand them as poems, but it takes a sort of an open mind.
A lot of your videos have tens of thousands of views. And I imagine that for a lot of emerging poets, they'd be very happy to know that one of their poems had been read even 30,000 times or more. Beside the view count, what kind of responses do you get to the videos?
Well, the best thing I get is just individual messages from people telling me that my videos have had such an important impact in their lives. A common thing that people say is that they watch some video of mine every morning when they wake up or something, in the same way as almost like meditation to sort of put them in the right state of mind to recenter themselves on who they want to be. That my videos can actually be doing that for people is really encouraging to me.
I wonder if one of the videos that people watch a lot is "We're Alive at the Same Time." Maybe we should play that one. Actually, I should mention that it's called "We're Alive at the Same Time, ; which is the smiley face emoticon.
I caught my wife appearing offline to me. I knew from that day forward our marriage was over.
I'm the Sean Parker of twerking. I invented the Napster of twerking.
What social network of twerking did you invent?
I have an idea for a hotline called Dial a Fuckface. No matter when you call or how many people call, it just goes to my cell.
What if your moneymaker is your cunning intellect and sense?
I gotta shake my moneymaker like somebody's about to pay me. We're dads, we're on Pinterest, and we want justice.
Oh, here's another day where I appreciate plant life. You! I love plants!
My dog is the Houdini of dogs. The Houdoggy.
How's this for tech savvy? I'm gonna cut your esophagus out of your throat!
I'm gonna use my iPhone to cut a hole in your stomach. There's a 16 gigabyte flash drive in your stomach.
Steve Miller was lying. He knew that he couldn't fly.
I don't know how people found the motivation to have kids before Instagram.
Let's see what God has to say about this.
Get off my DSL connection. These birds are creative, but can they paint?
When I get home, I'm taking out the trash and you're going with it because you're trash.
I gotta go get my All City tattoo touched up.
Holy shit, I'm online! Holy shit, this is the internet!
So tell me a little bit about how you put those collage-y videos together.
So I usually start by improvising humor for a really long time. Usually if there's a 2-minute video, that means I shot about 2 hours. And then I cut out all the parts that seemed like they flopped.
It looks like most of the time you're holding either your phone or a camera at arm's length.
Yeah, it's all in the selfie position, you know. But I think that rawness and using like a populist form, theoretically anybody could make this type of video. But I really appreciate art that's like that. It's not trying to impress you with its formal components and like its craft. It's trying to actually just move you. I still do write some longer poems for the page. And the way that I do those is very similar to the way that I make the videos, though. I try to compile a lot of material, and then I cut out all the stuff but what seemed the most exciting, the most fresh.
Well, do you want to read us something from your latest book called If You Don't Love the Moon, You're a Word We Can't Say on Public Radio?
Hold on. Okay, so I'll just read it, I guess. Everybody I see hurting, and I don't want them to hurt. I want you to be okay. I don't know how to stop you from hurting, but I will try to do it. I wish I was better at it. I want to stand for what is right to me. I don't want to do anything that I think is bad for humans or other animals or anyone. I want to work harder than I have been. I want to be hugging you. I wish that I could take care of you somehow. I don't want you to be cold or alone. You are beautiful and deserve to feel good.
That's so lovely.
And thank you.
What we didn't mention is that the subtitle for that book is Poems and Selfies. So why did you put your face in this book of poetry?
I mean, partly it was just the amusement. Because selfies was such a funny, loaded term, I felt like it was amusing to put this, like, low art form next to poetry, which is traditionally this high art form. There's also something where Walt Whitman said, when I give myself. And I really loved Walt Whitman so much because he really gave you his whole person. Like, everything that he feels is there in such a sincere form. And when people watch me on the internet, it's in video form with my face right there. And when people see my tweets and everything, it's got my little avatar right there with my face. And so I felt like being there in the book would be fun also.
A Gawker critic called your mashup videos selfies of the soul. When you're shooting them, do they feel like selfies to you?
I mean, the camera angle makes them selfie-like. I mean, maybe in a deep sense, you know, in a metaphorical sense, because it's so stream of consciousness, because it's so like tapping into a level where I don't know what I'm going to say before I say it. And then when I get onto the really sincere rants in some of my videos, which, you know, you played some of We're Alive at the Same Time, smiley face. And in that video, the part you played is mostly funny stuff. But at the end, it gets very sincere and very sort of ecstatic where I'm talking about we're alive at the same time. My videos, my poems, they're selfies of the soul in that I'm trying to put everything that I really love and believe in there.
You present so many different characters in your work. Maybe they're all aspects of yourself, or maybe they're just characters you riff on. How much time do you spend thinking about how the people who watch your videos perceive you or think of you?
Well, one of my favorite responses to my videos is when people say, like, what the hell did I just watch, you know? So in a sense, I'm okay with people judging me. A common thing is that people think I'm on drugs, which I'm not. I don't do any drugs. You know, if you pay attention to what I'm doing, then you can get who I am. When people misunderstand me, which is pretty frequent still, I think they're usually being pretty careless. I don't know. But maybe it's just a generational thing, or like how we sort of engage with culture. You know, there's this term post-irony. When people talk about that, they often think it means to be very calculated. But I feel like my work is, and most people who understand that term would say that my work is post-ironic, but it's not a calculated thing. Overall, to me, it's just playfulness.
The generational thing has come up a lot in the office over the past few weeks, and it seems, particularly around selfies, part of the reason there seems to be this generational divide about it is because people in their 30s or 40s or 50s are maybe more concerned about having one clear public persona, but that doesn't necessarily seem to be true for people in their teens and 20s.
Well, the thing that's happening in terms of public persona now is that all the different parts of your life are having a harder time keeping themselves separate, you know. Usually you were able to be somebody at your job and then come home and be somebody else to your family and somebody else at the family reunion and somebody else with your buddies or whatever. But now it's like you're using the same social networks to sort of show off yourself to all of them. So in a sense, you kind of have to be one person now more than ever.
And maybe the one self that we are now asked to present to the world gets to have more aspects to it.
Yes, I think definitely. And I think that's one of the best things about social media that's very exciting. You know, we're moving toward a world where employers and everybody is going to have to accept that people have a life outside of their job.
Well, can we go out on a poem? Maybe there's something else you want to read for us?
I have this thing that I wrote about what being a poet means to me. I could maybe read that. It's sort of a prose block.
Sounds great.
For a long time, I was not passionate about the label poet. I would point to strict definitions of poetry and say the label was really meaningless. There's no hard boundary of what you can call poetry versus what you can't. Every barrier has been destroyed. If you study much of 20th century avant-garde lit, you'll know that you can literally call anything poetry based on the precedents that exist now. So I decided that it makes more sense to think about it emotionally. What connotations does poetry have, and do I want to invoke those? There are some poor connotations relating to academia, maybe, but for the most part, I do like the connotations around poetry and even more around poet. 6 years ago, when I told my uncle I was a poet, he said, "Tell me something wise about life," or something. It seemed funny to me at the time, but now I'm thinking, actually, yes, I want that to be the public perception of my occupation. I will tell you wise things about life. Or I will try, anyway. I will strive to be the dreamer, the poet, and the idealist that most people are too busy or too business-oriented to be most of the time. My role is to remind people of carpe diem, of love, of nature, and to say it in a way that is memorable so it sticks with you. That's a need that goes back through the millennia and will continue as long as humans live. This is a deep tradition I get to be a part of. I am a poet.
That's Steve Rogenbuck with producer Sarah Nix. You can hear their extended conversation on our website at ttbook.org.